I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have.
Today I will be taught
the incorruptible,
indestructible
seed
of the Word of God.
I will never be the same.
Never, 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 never.
In Jesus' mighty name,
happy birthday, Jesus.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Please remain standing. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the famous Christmas story, the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Hallelujah. Josh and Brittany, Gobby, they send their regards. I talked with Josh yesterday. They wanted to be here, but Sister Sherry, Brittany's mom, is in the hospital. She's going through treatment for cancer, and they're spending the day up there with her. And I said, well, you're right where you need to be. And so they were going to read this same passage in the hospital room this morning as we read it. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And I just want to title this message, Christ, all big letters, G-M-A-S, Christ Mess, because that's what it's all about. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. God bless the reading of His Word. If you would, take someone's hand next to you and let's pray together as family of God. Heavenly Father, we come before You with thanksgiving and praise and joy in our hearts today, Lord, that we can celebrate the birth of our Savior, that Jesus came down and lived a perfect life, and then He went to that cross and paid for our sins and rose again the third day. And Lord, we take such joy in knowing that He came once on Christmas, but Lord, He's coming again to take us all home. And Father, help us to always be looking for Your coming and to be ready. We ask now, Holy Spirit, You would come, bind every spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, have Your will and Your way in this place and this people. We love You, praise You, and thank You. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a few points that really stand out to me in this scripture. The first point that stands out as I read this Christmas story is, number one, first of all, most importantly, I guess, is He came down. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, He came down. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them, He came down. He came down. Yes, He came down. He came down. You think about that, how Jesus came down. You know, when you come down, that means you went from a place of elevation to a place of lower elevation. And Jesus was certainly elevated in heaven. In heaven, He was adored by the angels. Think about it. In heaven, there is no sickness. In heaven, there was never any ugliness like He would experience here on earth. In heaven, there was only perfection. In heaven, there's no devil to trouble you. And yet here on earth, there is. He left the admiration, the adoration of all the saints who had gone before and all the angels. He left all of that and He came down. He came down. You know, I'm going to tell you something. We can all take that as an application for our lives as well. We need to learn how to get down. And I ain't talking about dancing. We need to learn how to get down. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to get down. That's right. You need to get down. What does it mean to get down? Well, some would say it means go to the club. Some would say to get down means to have a romantic date. Some would say to get down would mean to make money. Or some would say to get down would mean to win a ball game. No, to get down, to get low like Jesus did, to leave from where you are to get down means you're willing to serve those that are beneath you. And I don't mean that you're better than them, but I mean those that aren't doing as well as you are. Amen? You know, one of the great messages about Christmas is that we are to remember those less fortunate than ourselves. That's what Jesus did. He came down. He left the heights of splendor. He left the place where He was always appreciated, and He came to a place where He wasn't appreciated. Guess what He did? The Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I remember on occasions when He said, "Let the little children come unto Me." I remember when He went and He healed a blind man with a little bit of mud. I remember when there was a lame man there by the pool of Siloam called Beautiful. He went there and He healed that man. And so many times He did these things. He fed people when they were hungry on the mountaintop. Hallelujah. He went about doing good. He came down. He got down. And Lord, help us to get down. Lord, help me to get down. When I get up sometimes in my mind and I think as Coach Schofield used to tell us, he said, y'all all think y'all are world beaters. That's what he'd tell us. Y'all think y'all are world beaters. And then he'd make us run gut sprints and show us we weren't. Let me tell you, when we get on our high horse, when we get frustrated with people because of silly, mundane, foolish things, God help us to come down, to get down. And remember, those are just minor things. That isn't important. I need to make sure I'm doing what's really important. That's serving. You know, I'm going to tell you, in this church, we really elevate the idea of service. That's why kind of our motto, it's not about us. It's about Him. And when you get that in your spirit, when you get that in your heart, you realize there's such joy in serving somebody. There's joy in a young man like little Cole from our church. We ain't so little, but young guy Cole, going to the nursing home and winning 6 or 7 people to Christ last Sunday. There's joy in you decorating the church you're serving. There's joy in you going and taking some food to somebody. We heard about someone that needed help, and or several that have needed help, and you have taken food boxes to them. There's something about serving that makes us feel good. You know why it makes us feel good? It's because if you're saved, listen to me, if you're saved, guess where Jesus lives? And when you do what pleases Jesus, it's like your spirit and Jesus' spirit on the inside of you hug, they embrace. And that's why you feel that good feeling. It's when we come down. And Jesus, He came down. He came down. Aren't you glad He came down? Let me tell you, he had to reach way down when He saved me, because I was way down. Thank you, Jesus, that You came down. Secondly, when I read this story, not only do I see that He came down, but I see that He became visible. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, that means we could see Him. Okay, some of you went to Statesboro High or Johnson County, you might not know what visible means. It means I can see Him. You know, forever He had been the invisible God, hadn't He? He had been the invisible God. Even Moses couldn't look at God on the Mount of Sinai because His glory was too bright. He had to just watch God walking away, and still He was illuminated with the glory of God, so much so that Moses had to wear a veil over His face. God was not seen. He was the invisible God. But Jesus, the invisible God, became visible when He came. You know, you might say, well, what's the importance of Him becoming visible? He became visible so that we could see how much God loves us. And you know, there's an application there for us. We need to become visible in that way. We need to come out of our shells, folks. Let me tell you something, people. If there's ever been a time that the world needs some love, it's right now. We are so divided. We are so crossed up. I noticed people yesterday as I went to Walmart Hell. Have you ever had to go to hell before? I had to go to Walmart Hell yesterday for a few minutes. I did my best to stay out from there, but I guess I was suffering for some of my sins. And I was trying to find a parking place, and this woman zipped by me and pulled into the parking place even though I was just about to turn in there. I wanted to take my Super Duty F-250 jacked up truck with that big old bull bar on the front and just push her right back out of there, but I didn't do it. I got inside there, and I swatted. People thought they were still driving cars in the parking lot with those buggies. They would cut you off just about. I mean, people were just, I mean, crazy. It is stuff. It's stuff. Stuff tears up. Stuff breaks down. Stuff wears out. Stuff gets lost. Stuff gets stolen. Stuff. There's people that won't be in church today because of stuff. My God, what's wrong? We need more love, folks. And God has equipped you and commissioned you and anointed you. And most of all, God has called each and every one of you and myself to go out and love an unlovable world. Amen? It's time for the church to quit being invisible and become visible again. It's time for us to step out of the shadows and be the one that holds the light, the torch, and says, this is the way. Follow us. We're going somewhere. We're going to heaven. Glory to God. And Jesus, the invisible God, became visible. He wants us to go out and not just tell, but show others that Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. A third thing that I see in this story, not only did He come down, not only are we to get down, not only did the invisible God become visible where you could see Him, and He wants us, the church, to step out of the shadows and be seen and make a difference again, but there's a third thing I see in this story that stands out to me today, and that was His coming itself. His coming was a sacrifice of self-denial. I touched on it a little bit. But do you realize, and I don't think we can do our best, but Jackson, I don't think we can appreciate fully how much Jesus gave up to come here. Some of you are coughing, I hear you. Been there with you. Some of you have been worshiping that porcelain god with the virus over the last week or two or three. Some of you got aches and pains. Some of you are in wheelchairs. You know, Jesus never got sick in heaven. I'm not saying he got sick here either, but there's sickness on this earth. He had to leave perfection to come here. In heaven, there's no greed. There's none of these terrible things I've enumerated. And he gave all of that up. What sacrifice? What sacrifice? You know, I'll try and put this into a contemporary example. I've got a dear friend, Leif Hetland. I've kind of lost touch. I say dear friend. He used to be. We kind of lost touch. He's one laid hands on you, Keith. And Keith said, I don't believe in this falling out stuff. And he didn't even get to Keith. And Keith's feet went up high as his head. He hit the floor. We were up in Chattanooga. You remember that, brother? He was out for about 15 minutes. Lori was already calling the life insurance agent, getting ready. I said, he ain't dead. He'll be back. The Holy Ghost hit him so hard. But Leif is from, is it Finland? Not Finland. Lord have mercy, I can't think of it. It's that other, it's one of those Nordic countries. It's another one. Anyhow, it's right there by Finland. Norway. He's from Norway. And Leif left everything that was safe and comfortable, and guess where he went? He went to Iraq to minister amongst the Muslims there. And since then, there's been a great revival taking place. Can you imagine leaving the safety of your home, of your locale, whatever it is, whether it's Emmanuel, Johnson, Lawrence, Jefferson, Washington, Trulli, whatever, and you leave the safety of where you live to go to a place where you're not even promised your next meal. You may be shot in the back of the head when you're not expecting it by someone that is demon-possessed and worships Allah. He left all of that. And you know, I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We need to do some of that ourselves. We need to be so inspired by what Jesus did and the birth of Jesus that we're willing to sacrifice as the church. We ought to sacrifice for the church. We ought to sacrifice for the kingdom of God in the earth. You know, there's times when somebody will ask us to pray, and I wonder, do we really take time to pray? Or do we just say, well, I'll pray for you, and we forget about it? You know, I'm going to tell you a little secret, what I've learned to do. When they ask me to pray for them, they may not even know it. But as soon as I have just a moment, I pause and pray right then. That way I can't forget it. And it seems like since I've started doing that, I don't forget to pray for them later. There's times when there's sacrifice called, God calls upon us to sacrifice. Maybe it's to give of our money. Maybe it's to fast and to pray and to give up food so that we could concentrate on God more fully. And there's many doing that as we go into the new year. They're fasting as the new year comes in for God to bless our church and our nation. And I thank God for all of you doing that. But somewhere along the line, we've forgotten about what self-sacrifice means. Self-denial. And Jesus showed us that. He showed us that. Listen, he wasn't born on some palatial estate where there were marble floors and butlers and maids and attendants. He was born in a stable. Born in an old stable. It stunk in the stable, okay? I've never been in a stable that didn't have a smell. That didn't bother me. But the King of Glory was born in a place like that. He was born in a place where the animals were. It was probably noisy in there. If there were goats in there, I promise you they were noisy. I have goats, don't we, Donnie? We know about them goats. There were all the animals in there. He was born in that place, and he was laid in a manger, a feeding trough. And it's interesting that he was laid in a feeding trough because he said, I have come to be the bread of life. He came to feed us. He was also wrapped in swaddling clothes. The Bible tells us that swaddling clothes were little strips of cloth. They would wrap around the arms and the legs and then the torso. And they would wrap the baby's body up tight. He kind of looked like a mummy. That's the same kind of procedure they did when a person died. They wrapped him up, wrapped you up in those strips of cloth. So he was born and had to put on grave clothes. And yet that's what he came for. He came to die. Let me tell you, that is such sacrifice, folks. That's self-denial. And the thing is, a lot of times we don't mind helping somebody that's good to us. A lot of times we can get really fired up about somebody that's a sad story we hear about and they haven't ever done us wrong. But what about the person that has been ugly to us? That has not only stuck the knife in our back, but then twisted it. And then jabbed us again. Those are the people that really test our faith and see if we will deny ourselves. Jesus said, if you will follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. The cross isn't some beautiful emblem. It's not. The cross is an instrument of execution. And he says, kill your flesh and follow me. And I'm going to tell you, some of the hardest things you'll ever do is to forgive somebody that has hurt you and wronged you. Not only to forgive them, but then to go and bless them. God's had me do that before. People that were so ugly to me. And I'm like, Lord, I forgive them. Oh, but you hadn't finished it. I told you to bless them that persecute you. Oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. That's just a little too much. And then I reminded of that baby born in that stinky, dank, dark stable. And then who ultimately went to the cross for me. So the cross is seen in the stable, you might say. I'm going to tell you, folks, this story of Christmas is something that'll change our lives if we allow it. Amen? One last thing that I always share. Two or three times during the Christmas season. And that is this. The reason Jesus was born in the stable is because there was no room. The Holiday Inn, they stopped by there and they said, sorry, we're booked up. They went down the street to the Ramada, and the Ramada said, I'm sorry, but we don't have any rooms left. They even went to Motel 6, and Motel 6 said, the light's on, but we don't have any room for you. I'm sorry, bud. And so Joseph leads Mary on the donkey into the stable beside the hotel. He stayed there because there was no room anywhere else. I'm going to tell you something. And this is so true. This is a positive and a negative. First, the cut. You know, a preacher will cut you. I'll cut you. But then if he's a kind of preacher he needs, but he puts the balm of Gilead on it and heals it up. Let me cut you first. I'm going to cut you. The cut is this. Too many times we leave Christ out of not only Christmas, but our homes, our families, our daily lives, don't we? I'm talking about me. There's so many times we make decisions without praying first and asking God His direction. I remember years ago, I had this opportunity, I thought, to make a bunch of money. And I took and invested all of our savings in this house down in Florida. The woman absconded. That's a nice word of saying she ripped us off. She absconded with our money. And Gina hadn't reminded me of it in a few years. I hope I don't hear it anymore. But you know, I didn't pray enough first. I really didn't. How many times do we say something without praying and thinking about it, and then it causes all kind of trouble? Anybody ever been there? Anybody got your brain? Your mouth gets in motion before your brain's in gear? Hey, we need to take heart and we need to remember to make room for Jesus in our everyday lives. And I want to now put the balm on it, okay? When we remember him in our daily lives, I'm going to tell you something, our lives are so much fuller. Amen? And when we put Christ in Christmas like he is, I never write Xmas. Don't you do that. My mama always told me, says, that's X and Christ out of Christmas. Don't do that. Mama taught school for 40 years and she was always teaching, even till she died. Don't take Christ out of Christmas. You haven't taken Christ out of Christmas. You're here today. You're remembering Jesus today. And I believe in your homes you do that. Listen, I love all the traditions of Christmas. I enjoy them. Listen, I'm a big kid. But I'm going to tell you, let's not ever let them even rival or come near the level of what Jesus means to Christmas. Because without Christ, there is no Christmas. Amen. God bless you. We'll go ask our musicians to come forward at this time. You received the word today. Let's give God all the glory. Thank you, Jesus, for your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Hallelujah. We're going to stand and sing. I'm going to ask the pastors to come on down. And we're going to give an invitation. Today would be a great day for you to join the church here at Oaky Grove if you're not a member. And even more importantly, today would be an awesome day for you to give Jesus the only present that he wants, and that's your heart. So I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. No stirring around, no talking. This is a sacred, sacred moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in just a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ on Christmas Day 2016. You know, if you were to die today, are you absolutely positive you would go to heaven? If you're not, you should be. You can be. Because God wants you to be sure. The Bible says, make your calling and election sure. You can be sure. Today, if you've been away from God and you know that you're not right with him, and you want to give him your life, you can do that. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand up and you can put it right back down. Nobody's going to call your name. I won't embarrass you. But I want to give you the opportunity to give your heart, your life, as a gift, a Christmas gift, a birthday gift to Jesus Christ today. So here we go. Are you ready? One, two, three. Just lift your hand up. Hands going up. Hands going up. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just lift your hand. I want to know that I'm saved, Pastor. I know one day all this will end. I want to know I'm saved. Thank you. Anyone else? I want to know, Pastor. Thank you. I want to know that when I leave this earth, thank you. Thank you. That I'm going to live with Christ. I know this is not all there is.